as we dive into God's Word this morning, let's begin with prayer. Open, Lord, our eyes that we may see. Open, Lord, our ears that we may hear. Open, Lord, our hearts and our minds so that we may understand. And so shall we turn to you and be healed. All who agree, say with me, amen. Daniel chapter 3 is where we will be at this morning. If you need to use one of our Bibles, it's page 627. But Daniel chapter 3 is where we're at. If you've noticed, we've skipped chapter 2. We're going to come back to chapter 2 here in a few weeks when we get to Daniel chapter 7. Because Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 both deal with dreams. So we're going to kind of combo both of those chapters during the same teaching. But this morning we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. I want to remind everybody about our monthly memory verse. As of yet, I don't think anybody has sent Carrie a video, but our monthly verse comes from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, which I thought would be kind of one of those verses we would sing with some passion, one of those verses we would memorize with passion and incitement, especially the first stanza. See, the winter has passed, to which everybody says, woohoo! I don't care if it's 40 degrees outside right now. Winter is gone. The rains are over and gone. Kinda. Flowers are appearing on the earth. The annuals, they're coming up because they're strong and hardy. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. We don't have any videos yet for those who've memorized this verse. So please do so. Next week is the last Sunday in April. It's like April's just come and gone really, really quick. So please be mindful of that. There should be some nice days, supposedly, this upcoming week to where this verse makes sense and fits the context of our weather here in Northeast Ohio. So please be creative with that. I recently watched a video. The video is 4 years old, that dated back to the summer of 2020. How many of us remember the chaos of our world in 2020? Some of us want to forget that it ever happened. And we do a lot of like mental exercise to try and scoot 2020 and for the most part 2021 in the rearview mirror. Like get that out of the way. Just want to pretend like that season of life never ever happened. But I watched a video of a police officer being interviewed. And throughout the interviewing process, the guy that was giving the interview to the police officer just basically said, can you give me a little bit of perspective of what you're feeling, like what you're going through during this very chaotic, this very tension-filled season being a police officer? And what he said in that video just stuck with me. It hit me like a ton of bricks. The police officer said, I have been told that I am needed. So as a police officer, kind of get that. I have been told that I am needed. But I don't feel like I'm wanted. It was a very, very interesting perspective on how a police officer was feeling and experiencing. I know that I'm needed, but I don't feel like I'm wanted. In our day and age, being a committed, all-in, doing the best I can, all-in follower of Jesus, I think the same sentiment could be said to us today. We know that we're needed. Even Richard Dawkins knows that Christianity is needed. If you don't know who Richard Dawkins is, just kind of Google him and look him up. Wikipedia him up. You'll find all the information that you need on that very influential atheist. Even Richard Dawkins looks at our culture and looks at the way in which it's headed. And saying, you know what? Christianity is needed. It may not be wanted because of all the other stuff. But the direction with which our culture is heading, he, as an atheist, as an influential, professed atheist, I don't care about your Christian theology. I don't care about Jesus. I don't care. I do care about what people in his name live and behave and treat one another. I know that Christianity is needed. I just don't know if it's wanted. Jesus proclaimed that his followers, have an obligation and a calling to the world that they find themselves in. We have a calling and we have an obligation as being Jesus folk. And the direction, the metaphor, the imagery with which our Lord used to describe our responsibility, our calling, our obligation, is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And in the context of Daniel, in the context of, you know what, I'm not going to eat your food and I'm not going to drink your wine. Give me vegetables and water. How did the four, Daniel and the three, live out this teaching long before Jesus gave it? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, it's worthless. Just throw it out. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot, which is Jesus' way of saying, if you lose your saltiness, you are worthless. You are serving no purpose whatsoever to just to be tossed and then have somebody else walk on you as they go along the road. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. It just can't, because it's on a hill and it's up in the air and everybody sees it. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As we continue to journey through Daniel, may this direction, may this telos that Jesus gives his followers for all time always be somewhere in the back of our minds. To be salt and to be light. To be someone who preserves and sustains. Preserves and sustains things that are rotting and decaying. Yes, it can go without saying that our culture and our society is rotting and decaying. But that's when followers of Jesus step up and stand out the most. Because we are the salt of the earth. We sustain things. We preserve things from rotting and decaying. We are called to be light. To be someone who provides clarity and comfort. Not just telling people what truth is, but to provide people a direction of this is the type of comfort that truth can bring your heart, your mind, your will, your direction in light. To be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. That is the direction with which Jesus is sending his people for all time. For this spring, we are shining the spotlight on the book of Daniel to glean the wisdom and the courage from this book so our God can give us wisdom and courage to understand the times with which we are living and how to respond. The first week, the big picture idea, the big idea about exile is when you are no longer at home. This place no longer feels like home. This place is uncomfortable. This place is unfamiliar to me. The idea is living for God in a foreign, potentially hostile culture requires discernment and wisdom. It requires hard work, not just going with the flow, but it requires wrestling. It requires discernment. It requires wisdom. Finding the right way to do the right thing. The preparation for Daniel and the three was grounded in God's faithfulness. In God's faithfulness to them, and in response, their faith-filled love for God. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were not where they used to be. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were not where they wanted to be. They were in this space of the in between. And in that difficult, tension-filled, I don't know what's going on, confusion-filled environment, they kept on choosing faithfulness. Last week, it was faithfulness in something very common. This idea that I'm not going to eat your food. Give me something else to eat. Give me something else to kind of live on. And what God did with that is He blessed that common obedience that led to a radical transformation that also led to this mission field that God had for them, even though they were in exile. They trusted, they resolved to trust that despite their current circumstances, their God would not fail them nor forsake them, come what may. They chose faithfulness. They chose the hard path. And this is something we all need to hear. They chose the hard path of learning to live wisely, to find the right way to do the right thing with a determined conviction and with undefiled courage and preparation for what was to come. As the story, as the narrative of Daniel builds, we will see that with each troubled time, it gets a little bit harder and a little bit harder. The risk to resolve to have this undefiled courage gets a little bit harder and a little bit harder and a little bit harder. We will see that as we journey through the book of Daniel. There are three postures of faith that we're going to highlight this morning out of Daniel 3. And they all reflect the idea of living wisely, of living courageously, and to love well in the world that they found themselves in and that we find ourselves in. So Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other providential officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. Every governor, every senator, everybody that has any political sway whatsoever in the entire empire of Babylon, come on down. I got something for you to see. So the satraps and everybody else, they assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to be in awe of this statue of himself that he had built, that he had had built for him. So all the political bigwigs and all the political little wigs and everybody else was to come and stand before this image. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the hoot, the horn, the flute, the zither." Anybody know what a zither is? Al, have you made a zither yet? You haven't made a zither? Like challenge accepted type of thing. You're going to try to make a zither? As soon as you hear the sound of all these instruments, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of all the instruments, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And at this time, there were some astrologers. They came forward and they called out the Jews. They denounced them. They got ratted on. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever." When you go before the king, you gotta kiss up just a little bit to the king. So may the king live forever. "Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of all the instruments, they must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs, go back to chapter 1, of the province of Babylon. You gave them new names. They're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't pay any attention to you. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. The first posture of faith that these three brave, wise men do is they cultivate a faith that is willing to stand out. They had been and were even in exile. Remember, 3 years of being reprogrammed. 3 years of being told, you are not who you are, you are not where you are somebody different. Here's your new name, here's your new identity, here's your new allegiance. 3 years of being reprogrammed. And yet, these three men were still cultivating a faith that was willing to stand out. There was then, and there is still today, the spirit of Babylon, a spirit of conformity. Just give in, just give up, don't ask questions, don't speak against, just give in. And this spirit loves to use fear and pressure and anxiety to have its way. It uses any means necessary, peer pressure, political pressure, public images and experiences, and it all has this one goal in mind. Bend your knee. Bow down and worship. Go with the flow. Fit in. Conform. In our day and age, if something in our hearts do not set off warning alarms, when something in our culture pressures us, pressures you to give in and conform, if your faith in Jesus does not run counter to many of the worldviews that are at play in our day and age, and those worldviews comes from all different sets, all different directions. From some of us, it's our family, and we have to be honest about that. We have to be very bold and very courageous about that. When worldviews that are counter to the worldview of Jesus comes from within our own family. Jesus made a statement about that. If you love father or mother more than me. That's tough language to hear. But it's the direction with which Jesus set out for his people. From your family, from your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. If our faith in Jesus does not run counter to many of the worldviews that are at work in our day, you and I are choosing to conform. We are choosing to play it safe and to play it easy. I love you before I make this statement, and I'm not just passively saying it. If you and I never stand out, chances are you and I have already bowed down. Amen. If there is not some things in our life that are standing out about our allegiance to King Jesus and his worldview and his way of life, chances are you and I have already bowed down. Amen. Here's a question. Does anyone in your life find your faith and faithfulness weird? Has anybody called you out? Friend group, family group, coworker group, neighbor group, whatever it may be. Has anybody ever said, you know what, that whole Jesus stuff is really weird. It's also really dumb. Isn't it outdated? Haven't we moved on? Haven't we progressed as a society beyond this kind of mumbo jumbo type of superstition type of stuff? Does anyone in your life find your faith and faithfulness dumb, ridiculous? Have you heard anti stuff thrown at you? Well, you're just anti. As a kind of way of summing it all up and putting you in a box and making you fit within that box. See, the pressure that gets us isn't simply faith alone. The spirit of Babylon is just fine with a private faith that you keep to yourself. But when that faith and when that faithfulness becomes public, other things begin to take place. You notice within yourself you have this desire, you have this need to fit in. And if you need people to like you, if that's like this goal, this desire, this pressure within you, I just need people to like me. I just need to fit in. If you consistently choose to fit in instead of standing out, what does that say about your faith and your faithfulness? Continuing on, verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned the three. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. If you underline in your Bibles, if your app allows you to highlight in your Bibles, this is something that you need tattooed on your mind and in your heart. If you want it on your skin, I know a guy. He's good. It'll get into your bloodstream where it needs to be. If there is a statement here that we just need to adopt, the three replied to the king, "We don't need to defend ourselves before you." I don't think they said it that way. The punk side of me is just kind of building up because the story is building up. "We don't need to defend ourselves before you. If the God we serve is able to deliver us, he will deliver us. But even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." It's not just cultivating a faith that is willing to stand out. It is cultivating a faith that is willing to stand up. Standing out, standing up. This is the moment we've all seen when something counter to the culture becomes known. It gets out in the public. And said person is brought before mics and cameras and asked to give a statement to clarify what he or she meant by that statement. And they don't cave in. We're used to folks caving in. We are used to folks playing the game. We are used to people playing politically correct, to save face, to want to fit in, to save whatever reputation that they think that they have. We are used to folks caving in. What we're not used to is folks actually standing up and saying, "You know what? Yeah, I did say that. And I'm pretty sure I didn't say it harshly, but I'm pretty sure I believe in what I said. I believe that this is true." But what we're used to folks caving in the pressure. What I meant was, you heard that out of context. How many of us have heard that? "I'm sorry that I offended, but not these three. They have a faith and a faithfulness that is willing to stand out and stand up no matter the consequences." Some of us are just used to a little bit of peer pressure. They had a blazing furnace that they were about to experience. Some of us got to stand like 20 feet back from a bonfire. They had a blazing furnace that they were literally about to be kind of thrown into. And they were willing to stand out and to stand up. I heard this statement this week. You and I cannot live in the mushy middle and remain faithful to Jesus. There will be times where you and I will have the choice to either stand up for what is right instead of going with the flow of bowing down to that which is easy and that which is acceptable. And how did they do it? It's interesting and it's very convicting to me how these three went about doing it. How they go about it should get our attention as well. When you look at 16 through 18, again, I encourage you to go back and just meditate. Sit in the boldness and in the wisdom with which the three stood up to the pressure that was before them. Again, wisdom, finding the right way to do the right thing. They weren't insulting. They may have done a little bit of trash talk, but they weren't insulting. They weren't picketing. They didn't have fire. They didn't go and get something lit from the blazing furnace and stand before King Nebuchadnezzar raising a fit. They stood their ground. Their faith and faithfulness was not dependent upon an outcome. Come what may, they were going to stand out for the Lord and they were going to stand up for the Lord. Amen. Continuing on with the story in verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with the three, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans, and other clothes, it must have been cold, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames or the fire killed some of the soldiers who took up the three. With these three men firmly tied, they fell into the blazing furnace. Cultivating a faith that is willing to stand out, cultivating a faith that is willing to stand up. The third one is cultivating a faith that is willing to stand in. If you and I have not already, one day you and I will have to stand in some sort of fire. It may not be a literal fire, but you and I will have to stand in a fire pressure testing of life. There will come a day, there will come a time, there will come a season where standing out for Jesus, standing up for Jesus, will require you to stand in faithfulness because of a situation or because of a circumstance. Deliverance does not always come from the fires. Deliverance doesn't always come through the fires. Sometimes you and I will need to go in the fire. There will come a time, if it has not already, there will come a time. You and I are in the process of being prepared for that time when we will not be delivered from the fire. We won't be delivered through the fire, but we will be in the fire. We will need to stand firm in the fire. But a very important question here for these three, when it comes to their standing out, their standing up, and their willingness to stand in. Where in the world did they find courage? Where in the world do we find courage to cultivate a faith that can stand out, stand up, and stand in the fires of pressure and testing? Does it come from 10 hours of Bible reading? You know what? I make a pretty strong argument that that can help. What about reading the voice of the martyrs? Reading testimonies of people long ago who were willing to stand out, stand up, and stand in. Yeah, that can help as well. The 2-volume treaty done by DC Talk called Jesus Freaks. Testimony after testimony of people willing to give up their life for Jesus. Those will certainly help. But let's finish our story. King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Absolutely, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and all the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. How many of you like bonfires? You like bonfires? You smell like fire for a month after a bonfire. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save this way." The discipleship process for Nebuchadnezzar needed some work. His conversion needed some time to calm, bring it down, Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Arise, team, please join me up here. What we have here, specifically in verse 25, is what many theologians have called a Christophany. It's an appearance of Jesus pre-incarnate for his people. But this fourth thing, to answer the question, where in the world do we find the courage to cultivate a faith that can stand out, stand up, and stand in the fires of pressure and testing? Well, a answer is our courage is found in the one who stands with us in the fire. For many of us, and not all of us, but for many of us, the reason that we fold under pressure, the reason that we give in and we give up, the reason that we conform is we have forgotten this. We have forgotten this VBS story that maybe we grew up with as kids. We've forgotten the power and the influence of this story. And maybe this is your first time hearing this story. And I hope that it gives you courage. I hope that it gives you boldness to stand out in the world, to stand up in the world, to stand in the fires of testing and pressure, because you know that you do not stand alone. There is one who stands with you. Courage will come aplenty when the realness of the awareness of who is with you takes hold and root of your life. Until the fear of the Lord cultivates in your heart, you will fear someone else. Until the fear of the Lord cultivates in your heart, you will fear someone else. We may not be needed in this culture. We may not even be wanted. Doesn't matter. In this season of history, how are you preparing your heart and your life? How are you tilling up the soil? How are you cultivating your faith and your faithfulness to stand out, to stand up, and to stand in the fires of life? The ultimate question for all of us as we leave this morning is, who are you standing with? And may you find that when you stand out, when you stand up, when you stand in, you are not standing alone. Stand with me, please. As we draw our service to a close, if you would like to receive prayers from your church family, please come down and see me. If you need to receive more kind of a private, intimate place, we have prayer warriors outside our prayer room that are ready to receive you. But before we sing, let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, thank you for this story. Thank you for the entire book of Daniel and where it leads us and where it draws us to. But God, thank you for the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thank you, Father, that you did not leave them alone. That you were with them in a powerful, meaningful, completely life-changing way. Help us to trust in the truth-filledness of this story as we stand out and stand up and stand in for you and for your kingdom. Help us to believe this, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.